Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to cover the first 9 verses tonight. A very familiar passage. Last week, we went through verses 15 through 26, or completed 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we talked about the worker's way, and that the right way to be a servant of God. And Paul's encouraging Timothy as he's leading the church in Ephesus, a very pagan city, a lot of problems, just like we have today, of how to stay strong in the Lord. And basically, in verse 15, he says that we need to study diligently. We all need to study the Bible diligently. It is a requirement for us so we can be prepared. We need to seek approval from God. That's what God wants us to do. It's our reasonable search to do that. And then we need to support Scripture when people are saying, well, that's not what the Bible says. We need to know what the truth is and defend the truth. So we need to study diligently. We need to shun worldly distractions. We need to avoid fruitless talk. Amen. There's too many people beating their gums today and not doing any good at all. Yeah. And so we need to get rid of that. Avoid false teachers.
Amen.
Affirm the foundation of our faith, which is God's Word and Jesus Christ. Then, seek a pure life. In verses 9 through 22, we need to understand that we are founded and we need to be focused on God. There is no other foundation laid that's already been laid such as Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Then, we need to be functional to God. We need to be a vessel to honor, not a vessel to dishonor. It's our choice to make. It's a chance for us to minister. And in order to follow, in order to be useful, we need to follow God, to depart from iniquity, and to desire the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to give Him even more control of our life than what we give right now. In verses 23 through 26, we need to strive to promote godliness. First of all, we need to avoid strife. Don't get all tangled up with how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. That doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't really matter, does it?
Right.
It doesn't really matter. We need to understand that people just want to, there's some people just want to pick a fight.
Yeah.
They want to prove their knowledge, but in reality, they're proving their ignorance.
Amen.
And so we need to understand that the potential for this conflict exists all the time. And then we need to understand that we need to do proper conduct. Because the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patience. I find this a very challenging verse with Bible students in high school. We need to admonish in meekness. Why? So that they will realize their error. In verse 25, it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. There's people out there that spouting out gibberish. They don't even know what they're spouting out. They're spouting out lies, and they don't even realize it is a lie.
Amen.
They think it's the truth. They oppose themselves. So they will realize the error, so they will repent, and so they will recover. Because in verse 26, it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Anything that causes confusion, contention, conflict, comes from Satan. We allow Satan to get in. We're supposed to pull down strongholds and cast down every high thing and bring every thought to the captivity of Christ. And the issue is, if we don't do it, people are going to be taken captive as well. So tonight, we're going to talk about living till the last. Living till the last. Verses 1 through 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here's the central thought. We need to live for Christ until He comes, and He should be capitalized, okay? No matter what events time brings.
That's right.
No matter what is going on. So tonight, 3 points. The first one is, verses 1 through 4 talk about the characteristics of the last days. The last days began when Christ ascended to heaven.
Amen.
We're in the church age. And we're going to go look at Romans 1 because Paul was writing the same thing to the Romans too. And folks, if you look at what's going on in the Middle East, you see prophecies fulfilling. You see the steps that has to happen for an Antichrist to rise up.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. And so don't worry about that. Okay? So it is concerning times. Verse 1 says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Paul wants Timothy to understand, do not be ignorant of this. He wrote this 2,000 years ago. And you know, Christ's second coming is closer today than it was then.
Yes.
And society today is much more perilous than society back then. Just because of the instruments that man has made. And so we need to understand, we are living in the last days. This is the time. We need to know this and not shut our eyes. This is, if I shut my eyes, it'll go away. It's here. It's here. And they are perilous times. They are dangerous times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul also admonishes the whole church, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Christ in the parable about the household said, hey, if you knew what time the thief was going to come, you'd be ready. What we need to do is we need to be ready all the time.
Amen.
Because we live in perilous times. So characteristics of the last days, these are times that should cause us concern, but lift up your heads because your redemption draweth nigh, and we need to work, for the night is coming when no one can work. We need redeeming the time because the days are what?
Evil.
Evil. We have to be proactive. So, concerning the times. Verse 2, we see one of the characteristics of corruption of character. It says here, for men, or mankind, shall be lovers of their own selves. Time after time after time, we see that Christians are supposed to be interested in the affairs of others. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, kids.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Unthankful. Mm-hmm. Unholy.
Yeah.
That's all decisions that come from inside. But they affect the outside. Today it's mankind's choice to do this. You can't even turn on the TV anymore.
Sure.
Even medicine commercials, you have immorality in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Relationships that you're not supposed to see. Relationships that are ungodly. And people are making medicine to counteract the symptoms of that.
Yeah.
Or the consequences of that.
Yeah.
It's mankind's choice. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says this, "And even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge." So 2 Timothy 3:2 says, "For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves." How can they get there except they don't love God? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God says, hey, you want to do this? It's free choice. Knock yourself out. It's not what God's plan is. But God's spirit's not always going to strive with man's spirit. And Peter wrote about they forgot Noah. They forgot the times of Noah. And even that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what? Those things which are not convenient. Those things that are not in accordance with God's word. Those things that are not pleasing to God. It's corruption of character, and people are making a choice, and they are celebrating the choice. They're celebrating the choice. The content of their choice. We see it here, and we see it again in verses 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 1. Being what? Being filled. Not just a little bit, but being filled with what? All unrighteousness. All fornication. All wickedness. All covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. Deceit. Hey, it looks like the 10 o'clock news. Looks like the thing they keep on scrolling on CNN all the time. Malignity. Whisperers. Backbiters. Can you trust anybody? Haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. The Bible says that man's thoughts are evil continually.
Yeah.
Disobedient parents. There it is again. There it is again. So these should be concerning times to us. We got to stand for the truth. Because people's character is corrupted because they don't know God and they don't care to.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean we should give up.
No. Right.
We don't surrender.
Nope.
We don't surrender. Cruelty in relationships. I talked to the principal of our school today. And said, you ought to hear some of the things that's going on in my classes. And basically things that we would never even consider. They're saying, well, what's wrong with that?
What?
Yeah. You get all of your information from the TV set.
Yep.
You get all your doctrine from your friends. You're going to be messed up. You're going to be messed up. And the issue is, don't know what sin is. Romans chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's not sin. Yes, it is. God says it is, it is.
Amen.
You don't get to think about it.
Right.
Cruelty in relationships. In verse 3 it says, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are what?
Good.
Who's trying to be canceled today? Us. Us. The conduct in these cruel relationships. Why does it happen? Romans 1:31 says, without what? Understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're supposed to get all understanding with all our getting. Get understanding. Understanding of who? God. If you turn your back on God, you have no understanding. You're foolish. You act like there is no God. The fool said in his heart there is no God. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable. They can't be satisfied. Unmerciful. It's all about me and what I can get. Not what I can give. the conclusion of this, what these what this cruelty in relationships will bring, is who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but what? But have pleasure in them and do them. These are perilous times because there's corruption of man's character. It's been corrupted by sin, and it's just getting worse. Cruelty in relationships. The fact is that it's creeping into God's people. It's creeping into the church. It's just like Moab and the intermarriage of the Israelites after Balaam was told to curse and then he couldn't curse. And then they intermarry. It caused all sorts of problems. Verse 4, it's condemnation of conviction. It's condemnation of conviction. Verse 4 says, traitors. How are you a traitor? You have turned your back on the truth. You have turned your back on what is right. And you don't care. They don't care. Hey, I know more than you know, and I know what's best. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. See, if your convictions change, your respect for God has changed. Your respect for God has changed. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Who what? Who changed the truth of God into a what? A lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If you're letting your convictions go because someone's telling you to, you don't have respect for God. Our convictions need to be biblically based, not what you think, but they need to be based on God's Word and God's truth. Because if you're changing your mind, you're changing the truth of God. It's true. It's true. Because it's a changed relationship with God. You put all these things together, and you get what God the Father was having problems with Israel all the way through the Old Testament, when they were supposed to follow God, and they were doing their own thing, just these things right here. And then he says, you're an adulterous wife to me. You're not following me at all. And in James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, ye adulteresses and adulteresses, stop playing around with sin. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen.
We need to see more things spiritual in black and white perspective. There is no gray. It either thus saith the Lord or it's not one. Those are the characteristics of the last days. And you know what happens when you start doing this? You get counterfeit religion and deception. Mm-hmm. Verses 5 and 7. There is now contrived godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the what? The power thereof, from such turn away. Look good on the outside, dead on the inside. Says all the right things, thinks all the wrong things. Heart's not in it. Nothing new. Christ called out the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27-28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Quit playing around with the world. For ye are like unto whitest sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all what?
Uncleanness.
Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You may fool people, but you cannot fool God.
That's right.
Your godliness needs to come from the Holy Spirit. Your godliness needs to come from the Word of God. Your godliness needs to come from a relationship that's not changed with convictions that are based on God's Word.
Amen.
It leads to condemnable exploitation. In verse 6, it says, for of this what? Sort. Having this form of godliness. Are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. It's just not women, it's men too. It's kids, it's everybody. You need to check everything out against the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, Paul said this. He said, I didn't come to you all, Corinthians, with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the Spirit and in power. We need to see the power of God work in our lives. That's how you know. That's how your spirit can agree with our spirit, that we are the children of God. You know, when dogs hunt or lions hunt, tigers hunt, they hunt packs. And who do they pick off? They pick off the trail guy. Yeah, I know, if you're outrunning a bear, all you get two people outrunning a bear, all you have to do is go faster than the other dude. Okay? But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Be sober. You need to be aware of the perilous times you're here. He says, that ye may know that we live in the last days. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, who never sleeps,
right.
The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Don't slow down. We need to resist the devil. He will flee from us.
Amen.
Amen.
Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Run your race. Don't worry what happened behind you. Forgetting those things which are behind. Look forward. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Because you get picked off. And it saddens me that there's people that they start out well and then they get tied up in a cult or they get tied up in their own thinking or what their think or what their friends say or they find something on YouTube or a podcast and then they turn back on God. Contrived godliness, condemnable exploitation, continuous pursuit of false knowledge. In verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is in God's, folks. That's where truth is. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We just went through this on Sunday night. You know why people keep on sawing knowledge? Because they don't like what the knowledge is right now of the truth. But maybe I'm finding out so I can do my own thing. That's pride. That's all the stuff that we're talking about here. I'm going to find out in a couple of weeks in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not what? Endure sound doctrine, which is based on the truth. But after their own lust, well, that's what verses 2, 3, and 4 talk about, right?
Right.
Shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Folks, we need to identify what is truth and what is error. We need to do this, that through the Spirit. For John chapter 3 says, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because there's counterfeit religions out there that's deceiving millions. And the reason it says it, because it sounds good. It feels good. It appeals to the eyes. It appeals to the ears. It appeals to the flesh.
Money wise, too.
Verses 8 and 9. Consequences of rejection. Verses 8 and 9 says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these who resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifested to all men, as theirs also was. Consequences of rejecting God is corruption and reprobation. Now, who's Jannes and Jambres? The Talmud and Old Testament teachings, which Paul was very versed in, basically credit Jannes and Jambres with being the magicians that Pharaoh had that imitated some of the early miracles that Moses did in front of Pharaoh. They were magicians. Okay? And there are people today that's trying to give a form of godliness, but denying what? The power thereof. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, same problem in Crete. Same problem in Ephesus. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. If the work's not for God, it's not good.
Right.
Amen.
But that is the standard. So the consequence of rejection, as these two guys here, all those that resist the truth are in the same boat. The men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth, and then they do the things this year. This is the root cause. But verse 9 tells us one thing, that there is certain defeat of evil. You know, it says in Matthew, it says, because iniquity abound, the love of many will wax cold. People will give up, say it's not worth it. Or, well, I know these last days, I'll just sit around like the festival night and just wait for the rapture and do nothing. Both wrong. Work till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Work till Jesus comes. Because evil will be defeated. There's all sorts of psalms about that. We need to understand what Revelation 20 verse 10 says, and the devil that was deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and all those that follow him and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You have a choice. Heaven or hell. And if you're in hell, then you have another destiny, the lake of fire, which is even worse.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? You want to follow the truth? Follow God.
Amen.
Get the gift of eternal life. You want to follow the lie? You're sending yourself, you're condemning yourself to an eternity separated from God and a literal eternal hell. Because Christ will ultimately win.
Amen.
It says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested to all men, as it also was. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 and 25, it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. This is Christ. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. He must reign in our lives.
Amen.
He must reign in our families. He must reign in our church.
Amen.
We need to do what God tells us to do. So tonight, final thought. Are we living or are we leaving? Don't turn your back on God. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know if you die right now, you go to heaven? Or is that something you say you're still working on? If you're still working on it, you're not going. You're believing the lies. You may have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. You need to receive that Christ is your Savior. He died on the cross for your sins because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He was buried for 3 days. On the third day, he rose again to prove that he had power over death, and therefore power over sin, has the power to give life, and the power to forgive sin, and the power to save. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Oh, for us as that know him, he is still the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
We need to follow him, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask for this time of invitation by the search our hearts. And help us, Lord, to follow you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the warning of it. We thank you for the worship of it. We thank you for the empowerment of it. Lord, help us to be followers of the word and doers of the work for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.